A new book tells the story of a murder in Oxford, North Carolina. It is a murder that still roils emotions in the town of 8,000 north of Raleigh. In 1970, a 23-year-old black veteran was killed outside a convenience store after he made a comment as he passed a white woman who was the store owner's daughter-in-law. An outburst of violence followed, as well as racial and sexual tensions that remain to this day. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams went to Oxford to learn more.
Tim Tyson, the author of Blood Done Sign My Name, was 10 years old and bouncing a basketball on an ordinary May afternoon when a neighborhood friend came down the street with some news.
Daddy and Roger and them shot him a nigger. That's what Gerald Teal said to me right here on May 11, 1970.
Later that day, Tyson went down the street himself and saw a group of Ku Klux Klansmen with guns on his neighbor's porch. In the book, Tyson describes Teal as either a Klansman himself or a man who attended Klan rallies. The shooting occurred here at a dusty, rundown strip of stores. The stores are on the edge of the poorest black section of town called Graball, full of shanty houses with sagging porches. Outside the store, a black army veteran, Henry Merrill, known around town as Dickie, was cutting across the gravel to get a Pepsi. As he walked past a group of women, black and white, he made a comment. A young white man, the son of Robert Teal, who owned the convenience store, interpreted it as Merrill making a pass at his 18-year-old white wife. Author Tim Tyson.
According to other people, he had said something playfully flirtatious to two young black women who were at the front of the store there. And then Larry Teal said, "That's my wife you're talking to."
The daughter-in-law ran inside and got Robert Teal, the 40-year-old patriarch of the family. He was a man who had a record of assaulting policemen and fighting with his black patrons. Robert Teal brought with him a 12-gauge shotgun. Son Robert brought a 22 rifle. Author Tim Tyson.
He ran about 100 to 125 feet here to the corner of the Tidewater Seafood Market, which was right here. He went underneath the overhang this way, so he's on the other side of the building, and he starts running down the road here. And he, about right here, he was shot in the buttocks. They shot him in the buttocks with a shotgun, 12-gauge, and that knocked him down, and he skidded in the gravel on his face here, about right here. And they caught up to him, and the first thing that happened was Robert Teal hit him with the stock of the shotgun in the head, and that flipped him up over onto his back and fractured his skull very badly. It broke the shotgun stock. If you can imagine breaking a shotgun stock, he broke the shotgun stock on Henry Merrill's head and fractured his skull. Then they took the rifle and began beating him in the head with the stock of the rifle and fractured his skull very badly several times again and were kicking him. And then they just put the barrel of the rifle down onto his forehead. And while he was pleading for his life, begging, they pulled the trigger.
The news spread quickly to the Merrill family. Mary Catherine Chavis, an older cousin, knew Dickie as a baby-faced boy who knew better than to say anything sexual to a white woman.
I know, knowing Dickie, that didn't happen and that wasn't possible. If he made any statement, it was to warn the people not to patronize the Teal business after an incident with one of the black teachers here in Granville County. Dickie would never insult a female.
Eddie McCoy, a former civil rights activist in Oxford, who later became a city council member, remembers the riots that followed. Simmering black anger over white control of parks and schools added to the fury. Many black residents immediately doubted that anyone would be convicted and go to jail for the murder. Black community leader Eddie McCoy.
We knew that wasn't anything going to be done about it, the group that I was in, because we didn't trust nobody. So we knew that what we had to do is to show force. And the only way to show force is to make a fire. And if you make a fire, then you get attention that you're serious.
The riots lasted 2 nights and centered on downtown Oxford, near the tobacco auction houses and the segregated retail stores next to the courthouse. Fires burned around the old statue of a Confederate soldier that stood in front of the courthouse. Author Tyson and his sister took a fearful walk to school the next morning.
Down this street and down through downtown, and all the storefronts were boarded up with sheets of plywood.
Every plate glass window in downtown Oxford had been broken, and a couple of them were framed in black where the wood was charred because somebody had thrown a firebomb through the window.
Blacks in Oxford who thought no one would be punished for the Merrill murder turned out to be right. The all-white jury, 7 men and 5 women, acquitted Robert Teel and his son. The jurors apparently believe the murder was an accident that occurred as the white men fought with Merrill. What also lingers are tensions over the deeply held customs of the Old South when it comes to interracial sex. Is the dead man, Dickie Merrill, to be blamed for breaking the traditions of the Deep South by allegedly coming on to a white woman? Author Tim Tyson.
When the white man had sex with his slave women, it was a one-way street. Sexual activity between the races was supposed to be a one-way street.
Tyson, his father, and several older black residents of Oxford still make a regular pilgrimage to Merrill's grave. He gets choked up and his eyes fill with tears at the grave.
I came out here because the murder of Henry Merrill marked my life and it marked my hometown. And coming to grips with that has been a kind of life's work for me, because it's not just Henry Merrill, you know, it's a kind of symbolic thing about our history and the differences between us and how we reconcile that and how we come to be one country.
Tyson, now 45, grew up to become a professor of Afro-American studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Robert Teel, now 74, had to sell his stores after the verdict. He now lives far from town and refuses interviews. And Dickie Merrill remains a ghost that haunts Oxford. He's buried at the local African-American cemetery. His wife, who was pregnant when he was killed, moved north. The most tangible reminder of him is a flat headstone that reads, Henry Merrill, January 8, 1947 to May 12, 1970, Vietnam. Merrill had not served in Vietnam, but many of the young black men who participated in the riots at Oxford felt embattled and thought that Vietnam was the one word that told the whole story. Juan Williams, NPR News.